Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610, 4 o'clock. Sean Bajani, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner in the show. Glad you're joining us. So as we approach the NFL season, multiple franchises are contemplating day off travel for road games. Wade, why is this the last thing that you would want to do?
So from the perspective of somebody that's traveled to multiple venues in multiple organizations, your legs are the most important part of you being a successful football player. And so you don't have your legs if you travel the same day that you're going to play against an opponent. Now, I say that if the flight is anywhere over an hour long. So if you're telling me that you're going to travel from Houston to Florida to Miami or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's a 2-hour flight.
You think it could be done or not done?
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It needs to be less than an hour if I'm going to do it. And there's very few teams that have that ability to travel in less than an hour for every one of their flights. And there's one that can, the Baltimore Ravens, but because they have most of the games that they're playing this season are within a very, very small mile radius. But you don't want to have 1 week that we're traveling the day of, the next week we're traveling the night before, the following week we're going to travel the day of. NFL players about routine, just professional athletes in general about routine. And so you want to figure out a way that you're going to do things and then move forward. If you feel like that the situation that you're going into to where you can't go stay into a city's hotel the night before, you feel like that you're going to risk catching coronavirus.
Yeah.
To me, you don't need to be dealing with that hotel. You know what I mean? You should have a relationship with that hotel that you're working with. Usually they deal with the same hotels every year. When you travel to various cities you go to, you stay in the same hotel every time. You
sure.
should have a relationship with them and trust their protocols that they have in place that you can go to this city, get your team a good night's rest, and then wake up the next day and go play. And there's a lot of variations to this, a lot of nuance to it. But if you're playing a 12 o'clock game or 1 o'clock game, you could never travel the day of.
Yeah.
The only time you could potentially do it is if you're doing Sunday night football, Thursday night football, whatever it may be.
That's a long day.
That's a long day that includes travel. And that's the last thing you want to do. Rest is so important for you to play at your peak. Having your legs is so important to play at your peak. And so for teams to really seriously contemplate travel on the same day as opposed to getting there the night before like you normally do and letting guys stay in their normal routine, I think it would be foolhardy.
You know, I feel like there's a couple of different layers here in this whole thing, in one of which I would say is more of a societal issue than sports in this case, because while traveling on the same day of an NFL game makes zero sense to me for all of the reasons that you said from a health standpoint, you know, just outright physically for these guys, and it would be just such a long day. I think about it like this too. Like, what does a scenario like that do for the host hotels? Because those hotels do not just solely exist to house NFL players or professional teams for a couple of days at a time, and then that's it. There's no more business for them.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a concern for patrons that stay at that hotel after the fact. I think that becomes a liability for the hotels. And I don't know that – I think you'd have to get everybody on board, right? I mean, I'm sure there was a hotel that would absolutely love to be the host hotel of an NFL franchise. I mean, what that would mean for them financially speaking. But I also think they would have to ask themselves, what's the liability there and what is the risk? There's that concern. We're not just talking about sports here. This is a pandemic. This is a societal issue. This is about keeping everybody as safe as possible. I think this presents a bigger problem for more people that are involved than if you just stayed status quo and did what you did. Just looking at the Texans' schedule, by the way, I mean, this season they'd be going to Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Chicago and Detroit, along with Indianapolis. There are your road games this season for the Texans. These are not one-hour flights.
And damn near all of those games are at 12 o'clock. I think the Texans have one night game, and it's the first one of the year.
If I'm
remembering correctly, I think they only have one night game. So
it's the Kansas City game,
right,
7:20.
The first game of the season. So you know the Texans definitely wouldn't be one of those teams that would be seriously contemplating this. But if you're a team that – I mean, talking about the angle that you mentioned about the whole idea of the liability of the hotels, they're not going to have any more or less liability dealing with NFL teams than they will with any other customer that comes in there. And I think a hotel would be more than willing to accommodate a professional sports franchise and the amount of dollars that would generate for that one night that they would be in there and shut down the hotel if that's what would be required. But I think that there's protocols that you can put in place to where you screen people coming in. You have people, yeah. You know, those they're everywhere is going to have to figure out their procedures and protocols in order to conduct business. That's just
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news powered by radio.com sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
Well, you can hold that thought for now, Wade. Breaking news in at this moment from Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter. The NBA is closing in on signing off on a second quote-unquote bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling many training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. That according to sources telling ESPN's Jackie McMullen. That from Adrian Wojnarowski a few moments ago on Twitter. My God.
It's a double bubble.
A double bubble.
They're going with the double bubble.
I don't understand this. Like, so you took 22 teams that at the end of the regular season, you know, as it hit because of this COVID stuff, that had a legitimate chance to do something in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You took 22 teams. You said, okay, when it's safe, we're going to restart in Orlando in this bubble, right? But now you're saying those 8 other teams that have not a chance in hell, come on over to Chicago and play some meaningless freaking games. And did I read September? A target date of September. Why in the what? Why? I don't know what else to say, but why?
Well, that was my initial thought too. But was talking with Bridget during the break, and it's like, hey, TV contracts. You got these franchises. These 8 franchises still have games that they were supposed to play in the regular season that didn't get played when the TV contracts they have with their various local television stations. So because they didn't get to play those games, they're trying to figure out a way to honor those contracts, and so. This, to me, makes sense from that perspective that they got to figure out ways to honor those contracts. I do wonder this, though. It's like, all right, you're playing meaningless games, right? How does that affect you going forward for the next season? Maybe they're trying to time it up so that everybody ends at the same time so that you have a fair shake at it going forward because they're restarting the next season. I believe it's like right around Christmas time, right?
That was what was I heard proposed is
yeah.
that the start of the NBA regular season, like the opening game would be like Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And that was from the mindset that, well, for a lot of people that are, you know, still in with the NFL, NBA didn't really start till Christmas Day anyway. I don't know that that's concrete yet at this point, though. And then I would ask this question too, Wade. Do you know the answer to this one is that, so the NBA, they're going to conduct training camp with these 22 teams in Orlando from July 9th through the 29th. The season starts the 30th.
Yeah.
When is the projected end date if a regular abbreviated regular season and postseason begin July 30th.
I mean, to me, it seems like it'd be about 40 days.
So how would
50 days? Because you got to think about it. They got 8 regular season games they're going to play. You need to win 16 to win a championship, right? So that's, you're at 26 right there. Now, you're going to have a couple of days off here, and you got people are going to lose games. That's going to be about 50 days. 50 days from, they're starting at the end of July, so that's all of August, and then that's half of September. And so to me, they're going to, they're going to make it work out to where both of these bubbles finish playing around the same time so that it's even going forward. But I will say this, the fact that they're trying to have another bubble, they must have a lot of confidence in what they're doing in Orlando, in the procedures and protocols they got put in place, because why would you risk it? You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you weren't confident in what you were doing and that you can keep guys safe in the initial way you're doing it, you wouldn't open yourself up to that liability into another bubble. So I don't know.
Oh, you're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear myself.
You thought you disconnected yourself?
Yeah, I feel like I disconnected, but I don't know. There it is. I don't know if I lost my train of thought now. I forgot what I was saying.
Well, to your point, you know, just because things are going swimmingly right now, maybe in Orlando, what makes the NBA think that everything could be good in Chicago? Like, there's some research here, some statistical data that has to be poured through in terms of, like, what the corona numbers look like in Orlando versus Chicago. Travel for those guys to get up to Chicago. Over the course of the next week for this to start, things can change on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I still feel like everything that we as sports fans have to look forward to from the NBA starting inside of the next week, training camp, from Major League Baseball starting workouts at their team facilities tomorrow, to the NFL, which really hasn't been directly affected yet. They're still planning for the what-if stage. This is all hopes. It's not a matter of when. It's a matter of if across the sports landscape. So you can do all the planning you want to, but tomorrow it could be a different story. This time next week, it could be a completely different story.
It could be, but you have to plan, because if you don't plan at all, there's no way that you can pull anything off. So you got to plan.
Yeah.
And then the chances of it going awry, I think, are less than it being able to actually come true and take place. Just the way things are trending. Things were trending in a positive direction for a few months, and then all of a sudden they've upticked over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But just as bad as they got quickly, they can turn the other way just as quickly if people do the right things. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances that went on in this country over the past few weeks that lended to the outbreak of cases that you're seeing here in all over the country. And so if people get back to doing some of the things that were done months ago, they can get it back under control. And so then you're not worrying about a lot of those issues that you're worrying about today as
well. I hear you.
I have a big question for you guys. What is incentive do the players have to play this game that doesn't matter if they could potentially get hurt? Why should these players play a game that doesn't matter?
Well, you got to look at it like this. The players that want to opt out can opt out. And so if you're a superstar player that's on a bad team and you're playing for no reason, I wouldn't be surprised if you opted out. But there's a lot of guys on rosters on bad teams that are trying to get their foot in the door. They're trying to get paid, but they're really trying to get their foot in the door. They're trying to establish themselves as NBA players. And so they're going to take every opportunity. For the most part, you got to understand, in every professional sport, the mediocre or the average guys far out weigh the superstars on rosters. And so you're going to have 60-70% of the guys on a roster that are going to try to find any possible way to get out there and play. And so to me, it's really for those players. And if superstars want to play as well, then that's all the better. That's icing on the cake. But you know, if you're a guy that's a minimum salary guy, you're going to play. You're not opting out.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's really the only logical answer to that question. The TV contracts that you guys were discussing during the break, that's the part that kind of doesn't make sense to me. So getting these 8 teams that were nixed from this schedule going forward that said, hey, you can't go to Orlando because you suck. Now you're invited to Chicago and you're going to play these meaningless
games.
That's
a better deal, I got to be honest. I'd much rather go to Chicago than Orlando.
But just to appease TV contracts, like, okay, you're appeasing the contracts. Like, the contract says we have to air these games, you have to play these games so we can air these games. What the hell are the ratings going to be like for these games? What about the ad space that has already been sold, you know, for these games that are already off kilter given the schedule?
In a normal scenario, I would say the ratings would be terrible. But we're in the middle of a pandemic and there's no live sports. People will watch. The NBA is going to take advantage of the fact of every eye that is sitting at the house just wanting to see live sports. And that's another reason why they would do this.
I mean, maybe.
You're going to watch. You're going to watch.
It would be like a train wreck. Like, I want to see how bad it's going to be. You know, like, yeah. And I guess they don't care about the reason. Like, I just, let me watch some god-awful basketball because my Rockets or Lakers aren't playing tonight, I guess.
I really feel like that sports fans are going to go into sensory overload over the next few months because you're going to be watching NBA, you're going to be watching baseball, you're going to be watching football all at the same damn time. And that's never the case. And so it'll be very interesting to see if people just like they get to blinking like you're blinking right now because you're like, oh my gosh, like there's so much
I have so many questions and I'm going to ask you one when we come back, including this. Because now that there's the prospect of two bubbles, not just one bubble in Orlando, in which Damian Lillard was already not sold on his peers having discipline during their stay in that bubble. What about the one in Chicago where guys legit have nothing to play for and all that's on their mind is you know what? We'll talk about it next. Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner and the show this afternoon. Glad you're joining us. If you'd like to get in, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text the show. Bridget Falcone producing. I wanted to ask you guys this question, and you out there listening as well. Since we were talking about, I feel like bits and parts of the entire show to this point of how the sports landscape is looking right now. One thing that we didn't get to in what made me think about it is like, well, when's this NBA season going to end if they're going to have these other eight teams in Chicago in the second bubble?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for the future of sports landscape? Like, are we going to all of a sudden have like a new normal, like when NBA season begins? Are we going to all of a sudden have a new normal when Major League Baseball season begins? Because once you start down this path, like once that snowball starts rolling, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can't really go back. Like, if the NBA season ends with a NBA champion in September,
mm-hmm.
well, the new season's supposed to start in October, right? Training camp, regular season towards the end of October, it's on. Let's go. Well, that's not going to happen because they're talking about December. So if you start the 2020-2021 season in December, well, that's going to obviously end a little earlier. And then, like, how do you ever get back on course? And same thing with Major League Baseball. The same thing with college sports. Like, there have been programs already. Morehouse is like the most recent program that I had seen has decided to cancel their 2020 football season. Like, there will be other teams that do this, other programs that do this. When and if college football season and the NFL season doesn't go off without a hitch, the entire sports landscape is thrown off. The schedule is jacked up. Do you all of a sudden, like, have like a 6-month hiatus for XYZ sport just to get back on track whenever this thing is kind of quelled a little bit?
I think the way you look at it is that 2020 is 2020 and you make the exception for this season and then you do whatever you can to get yourself back on your normal schedule as soon as possible. So you talk about the NBA season and you're saying, all right, they're going to start the following season in December instead of October. That's like a month and a half difference of when, or maybe a full 2 months difference of when they start a season as opposed to when they were supposed to start the season.
But is it going to be an abbreviated season? Is it going to be a full season?
I think you can abbreviate the next season and then get it back to normal after that. And when you're because you understand, most of these sports have been trying to abbreviate seasons anyway. People have been trying to abbreviate Major League Baseball for the longest because they feel like 162 games is too long. I think you can go to 144 and it'll be a better look there. You can get probably less than that, but NBA season is 82 games. You could always drop that down to somewhere in the 60s and get the desired result that you're looking for. To me, that's what you would do to try to make up that time. You would have less downtime in the following offseason. Instead of you having a full two or three months off, maybe you have a month and a half. It's basically a difference between, you know, 12 weeks off and 15 weeks off. You know what I mean? If you do that, then now you can get back on
course. I get that. But
to me, I think that's the way that some of these leagues are going to try to do, because they figured all of these leagues are highly profitable and they figured out a formula that works. All right. Under this assumption, you have to figure out there's going to be a vaccine and something that can prevent you having to shut down the country again because they're not prepared for the coronavirus 20 version or whatever. You know what I mean? So there's got to be some type of protection in place, because if that's not the case, then all bets are off. If you don't have a vaccine to where you can have some confidence into how you're going to schedule things going forward, then you're going to be playing things by ear for years to come, and that's the last thing that we would want.
Before we move on, I just had this thought as you were making all of your points, in that I'm thinking about the NFL CBA, which was just agreed upon.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to last 11 years.
Yes.
I always have this question. Why the hell do they make this thing so damn long to begin with?
Are you trying to make me mad today, Bajan? You're bringing up a lot of stuff that are sore subjects with me. Man. You're bringing up the fact that we signed another terrible CBA. And you're bringing up valid points and you're making perfect sense, but it's been established that it was a bad deal, but at the same time, it's a bad deal. But could you imagine what NFL would look like today if the deal wasn't signed and the NFL players were strong and the union was strong and we said, hell no, we're not signing that? Could you imagine what the state of affairs in the NFL would be today? Thinking about what you've seen with Major League Baseball and their whole ordeal trying to figure out how to do this.
That's a great
this
point. Season, like, because they feed off of each other. You know, what this league and their players are doing and how strong they are. What this other league and they're doing and how strong they're becoming and the points that they're making from a labor agreement standpoint. I agree with you. I mean, it would be an absolute monster. I qualified myself before the show even officially started by saying that, look, I haven't done radio in 3.5 months. There is a bunch of stuff that I want to talk about. And I have a bunch of questions that you guys probably pore over every single day. And there's also this qualifier. I don't get a chance to listen to you guys because I'm never in the car. I'm on Baby Watch 2020. You know, I mean, that's my life now.
Radio.com app.
Radio.com app. I know, but
hey, that Alexa deal works too, man.
In between
Alexa,
that,
listen to Sports Radio 610 on radio.com and it just pops up.
I agree with you, but in between that and trying to find the right tones to play for my boy Jake to get him to sleep and to get him to calm down.
Number one priority for
you
sure.
You know?
He's the number
it's
one priority.
It's a challenge, man.
Yeah.
But I think about this all the time, in all honesty, that I feel like every single labor agreement is so long that there's no reasonable explanation from a player's standpoint that if they really had the power of decision and opinion and being able to make their own choices collectively together, if they were all on the same page and they understood this, that they would never agree to something that will outdate them, that will outlast their career. And you have two or three other waves of players coming in that had no say-so, that have no desire to have agreed to the existing CBA in any league, much less the NFL, Wade.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like every few years it feels like there's this labor strife and there is this uprising, and rightfully so, by the players that say, wait, this is BS. You know, not just that I didn't agree with it, but this is just flat out wrong, and times have changed, from TV money to guaranteed money to contracts to the way that pandemics tend over the course of history to alter the way that society and business has to be run.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that the NFL they have so much power when it comes to their negotiations with the union, that them pushing through an 11-year agreement, you know that players had to just look at these little carrots that are put in front of their faces, like, hey, we're going to give you X amount of dollars in this short amount of time span, and that's why you're going to accept such a long deal. Mm-hmm. Guys continue to fall for that. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And the owners know that they can wave those carrots in front of guys, and they're going to take them. They're going to be like Bugs Bunny and take that carrot and be done with it.
Yeah.
And so, but at the end of the day, it's costing everybody in the long run. It's costing guys once they retire. It's costing the players that are coming up from college or in high school right now, because they're going to be under the same agreement. But in business, organizations love the fact that when they have a constant and they know what to expect. When you eliminate uncertainty, you can start making moves, making deals, and making money. And so that's what the league is trying to do. That's what they sure. always do. They try to eliminate any uncertainties. The fact of the matter is though, if you want to get the best out of a situation, if you want to always maximize your market value, then you need to constantly have opportunities to re-up. That's why I would advocate for any player that is a franchise-type player or a prime-time-type player, some of the best players on the roster, to consistently sign three-year deals and continue to re-up as the market goes up, because the NFL market with the TV money, just the market in general, it grows so quickly that you outprice yourself and you become an obsolete person on the market. You look at like DeAndre Hopkins' contract. He looks at his contract. He signed it. At the time, he was the number one receiver in the league, mm-hmm. pay-wise and play-wise. A year and a half later, he's like number 10. The market is
completely destroyed.
And he's like number 10 on the list. And so he's looking like, well, I need to get paid. But if you have this long-term deal, now there's an issue. If you have a bunch of three-year deals, you don't run into that problem. You don't. Not enough time passes to where you get disgruntled with guy X, Y, and Z out there making money, and they're nowhere near the player that you are.
Since we're not going to get to this, we're going to have to save it for the next segment. I will ask this one question of you. Off the top of your head, how many labor agreements have been agreed upon in the NFL since you first started playing?
I started playing in 2003, so we had the one in 11. That's it.
Okay, so is it routinely 11 years?
Well,
other question, real quick, Wade, answer this too. Why, or not why, but how difficult is it for the NFLPA or even the NFL, if they ever saw fit to, need to renegotiate during the course of an existing CBA? And has that ever happened?
As far as I know, once you're in, you're in. And so the only kind of renegotiation happens when you either get locked out or you strike. And there's been strikes in the course of the NFL season.
Prior to agreements.
And there's been lockouts.
Yeah.
But that's, they're
probably. Oh, I see what you're saying. During CBA agreements.
Was still in place. We got locked out.
Yeah.
There was still, there was rules and everything was still in place, but the owners wanted to change the way things were going. And so they locked us out. Then they could make a new deal. And that deal was 10 years. Now this one is 11 years. It doesn't make any sense to me that players wouldn't look at that and say, all right, we got screwed the first time and now we're getting screwed again because even worse because they added an extra year. But when you see all the carrots and they have to publish all the carrots that are out there for middle of the road players that they see like, oh, well, we're going to get our minimum salary goes up from instead of $525, now I'm making $700,000. Mm-hmm. If I'm only going to play, 5-6 years in my career, that might be $1 million difference in my career over that time span.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it. Whereas opposed to if you look at it the smart way, if you're a middle of the road player, your goal in life is not to be an average player. Your goal in life is to be a superstar, right? Your goal in life is to be in a position like Chris Jones. Well, if you're in a position of Chris Jones, you don't want to have to deal with the franchise tag. Dak Prescott, all these guys are having issues. Jadeveon Clowney, they're having issues with franchise tags. It's because along with this carrot that they're going to give you with these minimum salaries being raised, we're also going to control you when you are the best players in the league. And we're going to make sure that you can't maximize your value as opposed to what you bring to the team and what we're actually going to pay you out. It's not going to be parallel. We're going to actually cake off of you and what you bring to the organization because we'll pay this money to these middle of the road players, but these guys that are costing us $40, $50 million, if we really base it off their market value, that's what's going to cost us because the NFL is such a dangerous sport that if you have a player on your team that's a $50 million guy and he gets hurt, you're done.
Yeah, sure. That's a hell of a deal, man. 713-572-4610. If you'd like to get in, call or text. He's Wade Smith, Sean Bajani. We're in for Clint Sterner and the show. Coming up next, we'll get to Damian Lillard's take on his peers not being able to have the discipline it's going to take when the NBA reboots itself. Also, which professional league has more to lose by not playing? We'll talk about it next at Sports Radio 610. And for Clint Sterner and the show this afternoon, Sean Bajani and former Texan offensive lineman Wade Smith with you until 6 o'clock. Bridget Falcone producing. 713-572-4610. If you'd like to get in, 572-4610. You can call or text with that number. So let's get to Damian Lillard, Wade, who had recently spoke out on his concerns about his peers having the discipline it's going to take during their stay in the bubble in Orlando. That's where he'll be. I'm sure he's probably got maybe some similar concerns about his peers on the other eight teams that are going to apparently be in the bubble in Chicago now if that deal goes through. What'd you think of Lillard's comments?
I tell you what, he makes a lot of great points. I mean, you got to understand that these are young guys that are in the primes of their lives and in their careers. Their ability to enjoy life and all the various ways that you can enjoy life, and a lot of that has to do with women. That's something that is going to be tough for guys to refrain from and abstain from. It's going to take a lot of discipline and sacrifice for guys to not, you know, dip in and put their toe in the water a little bit there.
To be more specific, we'll let you hear from the man himself.
My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have 22 teams full of players follow all the rules? When we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So I don't have much confidence, but hopefully it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
And that's Damian Lillard. And look, I think it's a legitimate concern, right? Tell me if you... You know, it can be tempting out there when you're with the boys every day.
Netflix and chill.
All day. And, you know, you're missing your boo, missing the wife, you're missing the things that you get to do on a normal day in and day out basis when life is normal on the road.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to adhere to, like, maybe a curfew or, you know, stringent guidelines set forth by the NBA and the people in charge in Orlando.
See, it's not the boo and the wife and the bae that should really concern you. Those are not the issues. These women usually have clearance, and it is the thoughts and the thems and the side pieces and all. These are the ones. These are the ones that concern me, and it should concern every professional athlete. This entire, on all of professional sports, but especially in these bubbles with. In the NBA, like, listen, are these girls going to have to go through, like, an extensive screening process before they get access to the bubble? Are they going to be are you going to be able to, like, are guys going to be able to apply for access for, you know, somebody they might have met in a nightclub a year before, or maybe apply for access, and if they pass all the tests and the screening, then they can come in and
Can you sign this waiver real quick?
You're going to have them sign a waiver to get in and to get out. Sign a waiver before you get in and sign a waiver before you do whatever you do. Like, it reminds me of the Dave Chappelle show. So I'm just saying, like, you got to sign contracts. That's a way of the world today.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, wasn't there a situation, like, a few weeks ago where there was a minor league baseball player, or could have been a member of a team on an active 40-man roster, that caught a lot of hell from his teammates because they'd found out that he was out one night in the club and he came to workouts the next day. And they were kind of freaking out about him, you know, maybe contaminating himself. And
this is recently.
Yeah, I thought so. I feel like I heard this, like, earlier this week or maybe late last week.
You're talking about this happened when they initially started up in March?
Yeah, I believe when this initially hit.
I hadn't heard about that, but that is going to be a legitimate concern from all professional athletes that my teammates aren't running the streets and bringing something into the facility that could ruin our chances to win a championship. That is going to be a huge deal. Like, each organization and each team, each group of guys are going to have to police themselves. You're going to have to police yourself personally, and then you know the police one another in order for you to have any confidence that they're not just bringing random stuff. And that's why I say, like, for this bubble, I would be a proponent of guys being able to fill out some paperwork, have the girl get screened before they bring them in there. They're going to screen all the family, the legit women that come in there, like the wives and the girlfriends and the bays, the boos, all of them. They're going to have to get screened before they come in there. So all of the randoms they need to get screened and go through the proper protocols too, and then you can sneak them in, but it just be
what
like
was that movie?
It's not sneaking them in, but you can make it feel like that you're sneaking them in.
That's a movie, Goodfellas. You remember Goodfellas when Ray Liotta, he's in jail and his wife is bringing him like, you know, bread and olive oil and this, that, and the other thing, and you know, drugs and stuff, and she shows up and she sees on the list like
Janet Rossi.
Yeah.
Janet Rossi's name's on the list. What is she doing
here?
What is she doing here? I can't stop who comes to see me. Look at me. Look where I'm at.
Who's Cinnamon? Why did she sign a waiver a couple days ago?
Hey, man. If you're on the paperwork, you got access.
This is going to be an absolute mess. Like, if this stuff like ever gets publicized or leaks out,
they got to figure out a way to do a reality show out of this. That was something that they were mentioning early on, before they actually came to a final agreement of what's going to happen in Orlando. But that was something out there that they were talking about doing, is doing a reality show just to follow everything that's going on in this bubble. People would want to see that. People want to see all the preparation. Oh. It's almost like watching, remember the Floyd Mayweather thing before every fight? What was the name of his show?
Oh, God.
That was on HBO.
I do remember that. I can't think of the name.
Every time that he had a fight and he was doing those shows on HBO leading up into the fight, it just made those things were always better than the actual fights, because Mayweather was going to fight a fight to where, okay, he's not going to get hit. He's going to do enough to win the fight and you move on. He was a big proponent of the sweet science.
The people that were disappointed whenever Floyd Mayweather fought were the people that had no idea about Floyd Mayweather and his style of fighting. They just knew the name and it was a big name and they thought, oh, it's going to be an awesome fight. I know that name.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, he doesn't really throw a lot of punches, or
yeah. But if you watch those shows on HBO, it would get you hyped and ready to watch it. Then it's just going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot bit different. So let me ask you this question as we shift gears a little bit: which professional league amongst the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, which of those three do you feel like has the most to lose by not playing?
It's definitely got to be Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is already in third place. Major League Baseball, it has the worst reputation right now when it comes to we've seen what's been going on with Manfred and the negotiations for this particular season. They're having the toughest time growing their game. If Major League Baseball didn't play this season, it was going to be very difficult for them to recover from it. And so that's why eventually they just said, you know what, we're going to play the 60 games and get this thing popping. But that league couldn't take a loss like that. I think the NBA and Major League Baseball, you got to understand, the NBA is a worldwide league. And so they have support coming from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is the NFL. They're the number one. They're the big dog. So if you lost the NFL, a lot of people would be hurt. But could you imagine the amount of anticipation for it to return? Like, people would lose their damn minds if you lost it for a season and they started it back. And once they started it back, people would be so ready for it. They'd be willing to spend whatever it takes to get out there and play. But Major League Baseball, without this season, they were already on a downward trajectory. That's just looking at the numbers, they were struggling. If you lose this season, it'd be very difficult for them to recover.
The numbers, really, I feel like for years, in large part, have been struggling. But I think it's been, I mean, I'd be willing to kind of go back on this. You know, I need to do maybe a little bit more research, but I would say the reason for baseball's numbers struggling here in recent years, and by recent, I mean, you know, 10 years and beyond, really.
Yeah.
It's because of what the NFL has done and how much more popular that has become. And the NBA in the same regard, much more so than what baseball has done to hurt itself. Because outside of, you know, recent, news like the scandal between the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Yankees, and the stain that that's put on. Sure, there's before that been steroids and, you know, other forms of cheating and other scandals in baseball. That's kind of been like its MO, though. There's always been some sort of scandal in Major League Baseball. It's always kind of had to figure out a way to rebound from such. But I think it's been more about what the NFL and the NBA's done that's hurt baseball up until this latest turn of events, where there's been this labor strife and, you know, we deserve this much money, you know, versus this much money, and the owners and the MLB going back on their word, and Robert Manfred having, you know, really I said he wasn't smart earlier to you. You know, I know he's smart. You don't get you're not dumb in getting the position that he's in.
Right.
But I just don't think, like you said to me, he gets his players all the way. I just don't think he understands how to deal with this generation of players or agents and things like that. I just feel like baseball has really hurt itself. And if they decided they weren't going to play the season at all, then I'm not going to say it's FUBAR, because baseball's always shown a propensity to overcome, you know, scandal. Like I said, whether if we're talking about like 1919 Black Sox stuff, if we're talking about like steroids, if we're talking about juiced ball, if we're talking about gambling, it's always found a way to come back and get people in, sometimes using other forms of scandal like steroids. But I don't think baseball will ever be killed.
I don't think it'll ever be killed, but this is the thing about baseball. It'll never be killed because baseball has fans that are extremely loyal. It's very similar to like NASCAR. Like there is a certain sect of people that will always watch and love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people. Like I think the 60 game season is terrible. I hate everything about it, right? But as soon as
they
get on a mound and start pitching, I'm gonna be watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I've been watching baseball since I was 4 or 5 years old. My dad used to take me to games. And so once it's in you, you're gonna stick with the sport. But as far as them trying to keep up ground with the NFL and with the NBA, them losing this season, the chances of them growing their game, they've struggled tremendously with trying to figure out ways to make their players popular, which is really weird when you're playing a sport where you don't have on a helmet. Yeah, think about it. NFL players have helmets on.
Yes.
And they're more recognizable than baseball players. There's no reason for that, except for the fact that Major League Baseball doesn't know how to capitalize on things like social media and things like all of the new tricks and toys that come about. They're very slow to adapt and utilize them. And so that's why you see them falling behind. They continue to fall behind. Their youth sports, the way that they promote the game to the youth and the accessibility for the sport.
That's the big one.
That is an issue. It's a huge problem that they have going for them. They have to rectify that. Like the NFL has their USA football deal that they have going on to where they, because the NFL was dealing with issues with safety, player safety, and parents not wanting to put their kids in youth sports. But they've dedicated millions and millions of dollars to youth sports to keep growing the game from that perspective so they don't continue to lose ground.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball has to do a better job of growing the game at the youth level and then maximizing the guys that they do have that are their superstars.
And yeah,
they're doing a poor job at both.
I don't feel like they've gotten any better at the marketability of their superstars at this point. I mean, you saw a little bit over the course of the last couple of years with, you know, you've seen Mike Trout around doing things more on your TV screen.
Like, answer me this. If you heard Mike Trout, if you were standing here and somebody played audio of the top five players in Major League Baseball, you couldn't see them, you just listened to their voices, would you be able to pick out the top five guys and their voices?
It'd be really difficult.
It'd be very difficult. Yeah. But when you talk about any big-time basketball player, football player, you know the voice. That's a problem. That's a big problem for Major League Baseball if you can't figure out who they are just by hearing their voice, and let alone pick them out of a lineup.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I think there's no excuse for that.
There's a multitude of reasons, though, why that may be the case. You know, in baseball, there's so much travel because you're playing every single day. In the NBA and the NFL especially, there's just more time off between games.
Yeah.
And there's more ability, I think, for those players to do marketing, to do interviews, to do spots, to do commercials, to do those things. Yeah, granted, there's the offseason for Major League Baseball to take advantage of and do those things, but I think it's really difficult to do that when you're already weak in the social media area, to do those things in the offseason and to just kind of try to blow the top off of your fan base during the season with old content as it is. I think there's that, and I think there's a bunch of other reasons, but I'll ask you this question, and it's probably pretty easy. Which one do you think has more to lose? You said Major League Baseball. I think we're all in agreement there. Which one do you think has more to gain by playing? I think the easy, hands-down answer is the NFL, because we've already seen the struggles with, and I didn't mention hockey in this, but, you know, it is what it is. Hockey struggled with its, you know, season just like Major League Baseball, just like the NBA has in a lot of respect. The NFL, and look, the last show I did here was just as this pandemic was hitting, you know. It was 3.5 months ago, maybe give or take a couple of weeks. The one thing that I said that will not be affected by this because of the time aspect, and I might have to go back on that now, but I said the NFL. They're the only ones that have not had to deal with real serious issues and won't. And now look what's happened. Meetings have been affected. The NFL draft was done virtually. You know, free agency has just not been what it usually is and what it could have been, especially right. in a year in which you've got the best of the best quarterbacks flipping teams and all the guys that you've come to know. You talk about recognizable voices, nonetheless, just imagery. I mean, that's been a huge downfall for the NFL so far, I think, in my opinion. They've got more to gain than anybody else by playing just as status quo, and they've got the ability to God forbid this things get worse.
I tell you what, who has the most to gain? I would say baseball had the most to gain. They ruined their opportunity at it.
Had or has?
They had. They don't have it anymore.
I agree.
But they had it because originally they were trying to play opening day on the 4th of July. That would be 2 days from now.
Yeah.
Instead, they went through that entire terrible PR battle that they went back and forth in negotiations, and it ruined everyone's desire to watch the game. And I'm not saying everyone's, but a lot of people are off on baseball right now. And so that's going to be to their detriment. But to me, the NFL is the NFL. They're always going to be king. And I don't think they necessarily would have had the most to gain. The league that had the most to gain was Major League Baseball. Now you're seeing they also have the most to lose.
He's Wade Smith, Sean Bajani with you, Bridget Falcone producing. We're in for Clint Sterner in the show today. Coming up next, 5 o'clock fire. You won't want to miss the top 5 stories of the day. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.
So sit back, pull up some yak, indulge in a cigar.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.